Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Amen. This is the morning God's made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Everyone say, I'm healed. I'm freed. I'm anointed. I'm appointed. I'm armed. And I'm dangerous. Yeah. Come on, you got to say, yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, man. Ain't nothing greater than God's presence. All fulfillment and fullness is in His presence. My heart is sorrowful for those that do not know the presence of God and caught up in religion and not God's presence. There's nothing greater than His presence. Nothing. You know, we were looking for God's presence in every corner in the world at one time. We went from bar to bar, relationship to relationship, job to job, always looking for some kind of fulfillment until we ran into God's presence. And then everything was fulfilled. And then we realized that everything else was nothing but a deception. During my visitation from the Lord, the first thing I realized is, man, I've been lied to my whole life. I've been lied to by the best. I've been lied to by people that love me, and they didn't even know they were lying to me because they were just passing on a lie that they thought was a truth. But we were lied to. And in God's presence, all truth becomes reality. We have a lot of assumptions out there, but it is in the presence of the Lord where reality of truth is manifested, because there's not only an inner witness, but there's an inner knowing that nothing else is true but what His presence expresses. It's in His presence that all truth is, because He is truth. We came into this world going, who am I, why am I here, and where am I going? What's this all about? What's the purpose of all of this stuff? Why are so many people being hurt? Why is there a God that allows these things to happen? I can tell you, getting into God's presence, He grieves over the hurts of His people. He weeps over us and our despairs and oppressions. He pities us because of our ignorance and the lack of knowledge and understanding of what truth is. See, God doesn't allow these things. We do. We allow broken marriages. We allow deception. We allow lack. We allow poverty. We allow sickness. We allow it, not God. God always makes a way of escape, and He always provides for us the weapons and tools to overcome. But He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He's just looking for someone that's looking for Him. And not just once or at one moment, but a life that searches for the presence of God. That's a life. And a person that's always searching for the presence of God not only finds God's presence, but knows he can't live without it. That's true reality of life. Because there's only one true life, and He is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything else is deception. Everything else is fantasy. Everything else is a lie. We try to live a life of fulfillment in the areas of accomplishments, which brings a false fulfillment. People stay busy to fulfill accomplishments, missing God's presence where there's completion. Again, I want to share with you this morning the most important thing in your life and in my life is God's presence. Not money, not fame, not popularity. Nothing else matters but the presence of the Lord. And when we begin to forsake and lack the presence of God, we begin to look for fulfillment in other places, because we are a creation that's looking for fulfillment. Why? Because we came from the presence of God, and we're looking to get back to the presence of God. Where is that? That's our home. We're on a search for home. So we try to bring home here on earth, and we bring it through corporate praise and worship. We bring God's presence here. We fight for the presence of the Lord. Why? Because where the presence of God is, there's freedom. There's no more torment. There's no more worry. There's no more fear. There's no more anxiety. there's no more stress. There's no more sickness. There's no more disease. And you reach the place where you have so much peace that you say, whatever.
Hallelujah.
Somebody's yelling, oh, this, oh, whatever. See, there's no push in the presence of God. The enemy tries to push you out of God's presence. And the Spirit of God is trying to hold you into His presence. So we fight for the presence of God. We battle in the spirit realm for people to get cut loose from the demonic holds of captivity so they can get in God's presence and find fulfillment. That's where fulfillment is. Quit searching for everywhere else for fulfillment. Everything else is a lie and temporary. It isn't true fulfillment. You can't find fulfillment in one another. There is no such thing as fulfillment in one another. Fulfillment is in Him. And if it's in one another, then you're deceived. Then you're looking for temporary fulfillment. I love my wife. She loves me. We work as a team. Her fulfillment isn't in me. And my fulfillment's not in her. My fulfillment is in Him. And only Him. When I come into this room, I don't Google I my wife. I Google I my King. But there's a time and place for everything. In John chapter 8, would you turn there with me, please? Before we go any further. Hallelujah. John chapter 8, I believe, verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. Where did He teach them? In the temple. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such be stoned. But what do you say? This, they said, testing Him that He might have something of which they can accuse Him of. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger as though He did not hear. When they continued asking Him, He raised Himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground, and those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised Himself up and saw no one but the woman, He said to her, Woman, where are the accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and what? Sin no more. Go and sin no more. Well, He was warning her, wasn't He? He said, Look, go and sin no more, and I won't condemn you. But if you go and sin, then I'm going to condemn you. Amen? Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the what? Light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In other words, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of all creation. It says, if you'll follow Him, that word follow Him is associated with being in covenant. Has everybody got it? If you will follow Him, that means if you will maintain covenant with Him. See, you can't follow if you're not in covenant. And what He, right now, it is vitally important. Let me tell you the ones who are going to be raptured, those who are covenant. Because that's a part of promise. If you're not in covenant with Him, or you're maintaining covenant with Him, during that moment of rapture, you will not be taken, you will be left. And now you may wonder, well, I don't get it. It's because you did not maintain covenant. There is covenant children. That's where the promises are. How can God promise things that you're not coveting? It can't. The only thing you can do is bless yourself. Many people bless themselves and call it God's blessing, but it really isn't. We are to be in covenant. Being in covenant will have the true life of His light. Covenant. Where it says, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow. What? That's all about covenant, isn't it? Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Covenant children. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the what? The new covenant. Ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit what? Gives life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So we have a new covenant, and it is the ministry of the Spirit. This is the covenant. So this means there must be relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit guides us to all truth. He tells us things to come. Everything that the Father has been given to Jesus, and Jesus has declared it to the Spirit, and the Spirit has declared it to me and you. But there must be a place of position where we are maintaining covenant to receive all the promises of God. Again, He must be first. What does the word say? Love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your might. Have no other gods between you and him. Well, let me tell you something. You can be the God between you and him. Your spouse can be the God between you and him. Your job can be the God between you and him. All of anything that is between you and God is called idolatry, because you put other things first before him. And if you put other things first before him, you cannot be about kingdom business. It's impossible. You're about your own business. Is everybody okay? Hebrews chapter 10. Covenant children. There's going to be a lot of people say that they believe, but they're not covenant children. Remember the story about Jesus explained, many will come to me in that day, say, Lord, I did this, I did that, I cast out devils, I even preached for you, I laid hands, I visited, I fed the poor, I did all of these things, but they were not covenant children. He said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Why? Because they did not maintain covenant. Covenant. Only covenant children will enter the kingdom of God. There's going to be many who are going to be very surprised that they're not entering. Many will be surprised that they've been left behind. Remember, he is a God of righteousness. Righteousness. Not unrighteous. Not compromise. There are no gray areas. There's either light or dark. Light of life, dark of deception. One or the other. And only light enters the kingdom of God, because light joined with light is light. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15, would you read it with me? But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. Why? Because it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is the new covenant. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will what? Put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. In other words, you know what pleases God and what displeases God. There are no excuses. We know. We can justify, reason, compromise, blame someone else, but it ain't going to work. We have to come to a place where we stop justifying and start recognizing. And I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. They're there. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Why? Because there'll be repentance given, won't there? They'll repent for those things. In other words, they will turn away from them because they know that it displeases him, because that within them, we already know what pleases God and displeases God. But we have that problem in the carnal arena with reasoning, justification, pleasing man, but fear. You know why people please man before God? Fear. Fear. Fear I'll lose that person. So what? Better than losing God. I'll lose my job. So what? You're going to try and explain that to God when you get before him? Well, you know, Lord, I was, you're not going to be able to say nothing. Nothing. So all you can do is going to fall to your knees and repent. I'm sorry, it's too late. So the laws are already within us. Does everybody understand? Within us. In other words, we have no excuse. But he said he's willing to forgive our sins and lawless deeds. He won't remember anymore if we turn from them. So how does he remember them? Because you and I go back to them. In Ezekiel 36. So that means because it is the covenant and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the covenant keeper. Everyone say the Holy Spirit is the covenant keeper. So I must have relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, how does he keep covenant? He keeps covenant by getting you into a place of obedience and cooperation and being led by the Spirit. So you and I maintain covenant. Ezekiel 36. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Ezekiel 36, 23. And I will what? Sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. In other words, when he is reverenced in you, where you don't change, where you don't compromise, where you're not interested in the affairs of the world that Jesus isn't interested in. In other words, you're interested in the things Jesus is. Does everybody understand that? So when somebody's at a job and they're laughing at a dirty joke and you don't laugh with them, why? Because you're not interested in pleasing a person. You don't want to grieve the presence of God. And they may look at you strange. Why didn't you laugh at that? Because it doesn't humor my Father. And if it doesn't humor him, it doesn't humor me. When he is hallowed in you, when he is honored and reverenced in you, by you, when his presence is more than important to you than anything else, in grieving his presence. Verse 24, read it with me. For I'll take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Every one of us here has come from other countries. God has brought us here. He's not only talking about the Jews going home, but he's talking about gathering others and bringing them together in his house. In verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your what? Idols. I will give you a what? A new heart, and put a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will what? Put my spirit, because my spirit is a covenant keeper. I'm going to put my covenant keeper in me and you, so that we can maintain covenant with no excuses. Why? Because he guides us to all truth. He convicts us. He tells us things to come. He keeps us in divine order. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you, cause, everyone say cause. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments. Keeping my judgments is keeping my covenant and do them. See, again, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. What we do is we willfully disobey because of the dictates and the desires of our own pleasures, of our members at war within us, of the flesh, of the soul, looking for a fulfillment feeling in all places but God's presence. Is everybody okay? Isaiah 24, covenant children. Isaiah 24, in verse 4. You came for the truth, right? Hallelujah. In verse 4, would you read it with me, please? The earth what? Mourns and fades away. The world relinquishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth what? Language. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they have what? Transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and a few men are left. Why? Because of broken covenant. Now, our Constitution is a covenant that has been broken. It's been broken. There is a curse on the United States. The Constitution has been altered, which is the covenant with the people and the governing rule. The governing rule was to serve the people, but now the people serve the government. The Constitution has been broke, and there's a curse on the United States. But thank God, this is not our country. Does everybody understand? We have another citizenship. Hallelujah. It's an eternal citizenship. So because of that, disasters will come. They're coming. They've been here. They've been trickling certain places. We're watching all kinds of things manifest, aren't we? Amen? All kinds of things are manifesting in every area. The economy. We're watching diseases break out. Plagues. People losing homes. All kinds of things that are manifesting because of the curse that is on the country, because the Constitution has been altered and broken. Why? Because that Constitution was placed under the hand of God. You know, you go into the law places, it says, "In God we trust." In fact, I've seen somebody get rescued because I mentioned that to a judge in a courtroom. Behind you, I said, it says, "In God we trust." What happened? That got his attention. Praise God. We are in a trial. We are in a time of testing. We are in a time of change. The world is changing to the wicked, and those who are covenant children are maintaining the true light. Of all times right now, look at what happened during the flood. The only ones that got on the boat were the ones that had a ticket. It was a covenant ticket. Does everybody get it? Out of the millions of Jews, only two of them made it in the promised land, the original. Because the rest of them grumbled and complained. They were setting their eyes on themselves, not on the kingdom. They set their eyes on themselves, not on the promised land. In Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah, covenant children. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Let's read this all together, please. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words," because we're hearing that plenty of times. Every time I hear the president stand up and speak, that's nothing but a stinking empty word. It's ridiculous. We are being lied to by our own government every single day. And it isn't going to get better. The next one that replaces him will have a form of godliness, but he's still going to be a liar too. Our trust is in Christ, nothing else. Again, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now look at what is being promoted in this country. Same-sex marriage, abortion, all the other things. Fornication. All of these things are promoted. It's okay. Not in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of a covenant-keeping child of God. No way. No way. Verse 7, "Therefore do not be partakers with them." Don't agree with them. In fact, don't vote for them, idiots. Put someone in there that fears God. You'll know them by their fruits. Why? Because if you put somebody in there that's a promoter of same-sex marriage and abortions, there's blood on your hands because you're approving of it. It says in verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That's children of covenant. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it." In other words, don't fall into this stuff. Don't fall into idolatry. Keep Christ first no matter what. Quit being a man pleaser and be a God pleaser. Quit looking for fulfillment in relationships, jobs, and everything else, and look for fulfillment in the presence of God, and everything will be added to you. Expose these things in your life, or God will expose them for you. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, like they think God doesn't know. He must not see behind your locked doors. Or maybe he doesn't know what you think. I get a lot of people, oh, God knows my heart. Yeah, man. And I don't want to be there when he exposes it. Because you don't see it, but I sure can tell. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because of what? The days are what? The days are evil. The days are evil. Look at, they're not going to be righteous days. Days are going to be evil until you and I leave this place, because evil rules the days here. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be led by the Spirit, and you're going to maintain what? Covenant. It's real simple. We are children of light. That means we are children of covenant, led by the covenant keeper, the Holy Spirit. This is a practice of righteousness. We are eating from the tree of life, not from the tree of good and evil. We are not interested in good. We are interested in righteousness, which is from the tree of life. The world looks at one another as good or evil. Well, he's a good person. That's nice. It's going to hell. You only sustain life by eating from the tree of life, not from the tree of good and evil. That's still producing death. I hear that all the time. I'm a good person. Well, you're still going to hell. But good people, what do you mean? God wouldn't send a good person to hell. He doesn't. You do. You want a ticket to heaven? There it is. It's called covenant keeper. Ticket to heaven. Other than that, there's only one ticket. There's no partial tickets. It's a ticket of light. Not blue, green, purple. It's white. Pure white light. And light attracts light. Darkness attracts darkness. Amen? So we must look at, it's not about the left or the right. Hello? We got all of this governmental stuff. Left, right, left. It's not about the left. It's not about the right. It's not about right or wrong. It's about light and darkness. You're either walking in the light where you see, or you're walking in darkness where you are blinded. The Bible even says Satan comes as an angel of light, but he is darkness. So he comes with a false light, doesn't he? Look at how many religions are out there that people are following, thinking it's good. If they would just do the research of the origination of these religions, they realize, something ain't right here. We are not religious. It's not about religion. It's about a group of individuals that was created by God Almighty that was sent to this earth. Every one of us has been sent on a mission to help get home and bring others with us, because this place is going to burn. It's going to burn. Everything's going to go. Don't try and save your stilettos. Don't try and save your jewelry. It's gone, man. Burn. Crisp. Your Michael Kors purses and your motorcycles and tennis rackets and tennis clothes. It's all going to burn, man. I got a flame-proof Under Armour. It's called a priestly garment. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 says you'll know them by their fruit. Are they producing light or are they producing gray? Are they producing light once in a while? That's called gray. You're either a producer of light or you're not. One or the other. You're either plugged in or you're unplugged. Philippians 2 verse 12. Let's speak it together. Not that I've already what? Oh, I'm in 3, sorry. Philippians 2 in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. I don't know if how many people really work out their salvation with fear and trembling, because things have been so compromised and so diluted. Church has gone into entertainment. They've gone into Hollywood. It's not about entertainment. It's about reality. You know, there's not enough truth. People are more concerned about holding people in a church to pay their bills. Listen, we started this whole fellowship, well, the Lord started this, with just three people. It's not about people. It's about truth and people who want truth. See, we must be a seeker of truth to want truth. And if we're a seeker of truth and want truth, you certainly don't want to lie or compromise, do you? I mean, I wouldn't. I had enough of that. I've been in churches that lied to me. I've been in churches that compromised. I've been in churches that Jesus wasn't in there. It's not about church. It's about fellowship in the presence of God. Amen? Why? Because His presence is the most important thing in our life. That's what it's about. His presence. That's where truth is, in His presence. So we're to work out our salvation with reverence and honor and respect. And know when we begin to walk away from light and not keeping fellowship with light, there better be some trembling. For it is God who works in you both to what? Will and to do for His good pleasure. So God is working in me and you for us to do His will. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of the crooked and perverse what? Generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast. Holding fast means keeping covenant. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Again, holding fast to the word of life. That means maintain covenant. Maintain covenant. In 1 John chapter 1. So that means we must practice righteousness. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Would you read it with me? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is what? Light, and in Him there is what? No darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, in other words, fellowship means what? Covenant. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, right, and walk in darkness, we what? We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Go to chapter 3 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? Whoever abides in Him does not sin. In other words, sin does not have dominion. Whoever sins has neither seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the what? Of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He may destroy the what? Works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In other words, sin does not have dominion. We are not covenant breakers. We are covenant keepers. Go to chapter 2 and verse 28. Would you read it with me? And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Now, we know that practicing righteousness is an area of maintaining covenant. We are practicing the things that please Him, not the things that displease Him. We know that the works of the flesh are things that displease Him, right? Those things displease Him. So if there's the works of the flesh, it means a works of the flesh is breaking covenant. Amen? That's breaking covenant. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Is everybody okay? Covenant children. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. These are covenant breakers. and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. There are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are what? They are cursed children. So there's either a cursed children or covenant children, one or the other. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 28, Romans 1:28, would you read it with me? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, they know what covenant keeping is, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who what? Practice them. So if you're approving of those who practice it, you'll be judged the same way they do, aren't they? Amen? And I want to close at Revelation 22. We're either covenant children or cursed children. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed, everyone say blessed. Are those who do his commandments or what? Keep his covenant. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs. Now, these are not barking dogs, okay? The word dog here means demonized individuals. Outside are dogs and sorcerers. A sorcerer, somebody practices black magic, witchcraft, sorcery, addiction, and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. These are outside. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely, freely. Now, I want to finish in one other scripture because I've been quick into this. Because if you are a covenant-keeping child, then there are benefits. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Let me tell you, I don't know how he's going to heal you, but he will. He will, one way or another. Who redeems your life from destruction. Let me tell you, he doesn't lead you into destruction. He rescues you from destruction. So if you're being led into destruction, it ain't dad. It's anti-dad. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hello. God does not beat you down. He lifts you up. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Why? Because what you confess is what you possess. What you eat is what you become. Your way of escape is by speaking things out. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. There is youth in his presence. Youth in his presence. We should all die young. I don't care how old you are. You should be young at heart. I don't want to die old. I want to die young. Amen? In his presence. In his presence, covenant children, being led by the covenant keeper. And those who are led by the Spirit of God are called sons and daughters of God. That's who we are. Don't let the enemy steal your identity as a covenant child. And if you're out of covenant, get in. Repent, turn away, shake it off, kick it behind you. Don't look back, look forward. Live from the future, not from the past. You know what? The beauty of being a child of God, even when you blew it, is you can start over. Why? Because he gave you the key to unlock your prison. Use it. Praise God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? He's for us. No matter what the enemy tells you here, he's for us. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, it don't matter. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Apply the blood of Jesus on this seed. What's that song? Wherever you've been, whatever you've done. I'm going to play it as soon as I get done praying. Praise God. So, Lord, we are honored. I mean, you're so good, and we're so goofy. It's amazing how you put up with us. But you do, because you love us unconditionally. You created us. I know you killed the first group, but praise God for the second one. So we just commit everything to you, and we just ask the Lord for your guidance, for your help, for your continued counsel, correction, and direction, and that we be sensitive to your presence and a thirst and hunger to want to know you more, to please you more, and to live in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.